If you need a new roof or a repair, Easton Roofing will take care of you. Estimates are always free and suggestions are built on integrity. Visit EastonRoofing.com for more information. Get back to business faster with Easton Roofing. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. This week is flying by. It's Thursday already. Are you kidding me? Are you sure? Let me check this.
Yeah, baby.
That's Thursday.
Yes.
Right. Thursday, January 23rd, 2020. Ah?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Yeah.
Testing you.
Yep. We're almost in February. I'm
can't catch last week too.
Can't get me on the 2019 now. 2020. We've got lots to talk about. Tim Grenhard is going to call in from the road. He'll join the show at 7 o'clock. We'll have him for a couple of segments. Then Gary Lezak is going to join us. Matt Derrick from ChiefsDigest.com and 810WHB.com will be on the show. We're going to talk to our friend Chase from Charlie Hustle about some great new items that you can get at Charlie Hustle to show your support for your Kansas City Chiefs as they head to the Super Bowl in Miami. Mike DeCourcy from the Sporting News will talk to us about college basketball, about the punishments handed down after the Kansas and Kansas State basket brawl. He'll also talk to us about a column that he wrote about Andy Reid, and he also wrote a guide to watching the Super Bowl. So he's a man that does it all. He's a college basketball insider for the Sporting News, but we've had him on to talk about some soccer columns that he's written. Also writes about the Pittsburgh Steelers from time to time, and writes about the NFL. And so he wrote a column about how Andy Reid should be more appreciated in the NFL. And so we will talk to Mike DeCourcy about that. And then we will also talk to Guy Fieri, who hosts 17 different shows on Food Network. Guy's grocery games, you know all of them. Diners, drive-ins, and dives. And so he has this big tailgate that's going to be down in Miami on game day, Super Bowl game day. And you can purchase tickets. We'll give you all the information about that. Hell, I mean, if you got the promo, we could just play that during the TV so we could explain to people instead of me running my mouth about it. But Guy Fieri, there's going to be like 50 current NFL stars, a whole bunch of the celebrity chefs from Food Network. And so you have to buy tickets or you can win. We've got a few pair. We're giving away like a total of I think four pair total here on the morning show, but or more. I don't know. You know what? My math's terrible. All I know is I tell people to email Jake at 810WHB.com. We've been combing through all of the emails. We've got a lot of emails of people going down to Miami. A lot of Chiefs fans are just going to Miami to take in the atmosphere, see if they can pick up some last-minute tickets, and really just celebrate. Because if you've ever been to a Super Bowl, there's so many things in town around the Super Bowl. You can go down there as a Chiefs fan and have a whole lot of fun and not even go to the game. And so tickets are available. Play the promos to give people some information about and the event that I will be appearing at with Todd Lebo on Super Bowl game day.
Kansas City's going to the big game, and Guy Fieri's Players Tailgate is the only place to be before the game. Get your tickets at BullseyeEventGroup.com. This is the number one rated event on game day. Over 50 active NFL players will be there. Guy Fieri and 10 other celebrity chefs create all the amazing food, and it's all you can eat and drink 3 hours prior to kickoff. Game day will be an event you will never forget. When you're at Guy Fieri's Players Tailgate, tickets at BullseyeEventGroup.com now.
With a special appearance by Todd Lebo, who will broadcasting live.
Next question comes from the line of Todd Lebo, Sports Radio A10.
That's part of what makes it the number one event on Super Bowl Sunday.
They said they want two people. They wanted a couple of people appearing there that Kansas City fans making the trip down there would recognize and would appreciate. And so they couldn't find anybody. So then they asked me and Todd.
Yeah, I'm a hard ass. I'm sorry. Guess we'll take Stephen and Leaboo.
Okay. All right. Okay. The book. So if you're going to Miami and you're going to be there on Super Bowl Sunday and you want to represent the Chiefs and you would like to win a pair of tickets, send an email explaining. We've had some people send multiple emails.
Yeah, they're welcomed. I'll put them all together.
Prove their point. Had people send pictures.
Yep. I welcome those too.
Someone send a selfie of them laying in bed.
Oh, hey, candid pictures,
that,
huh?
You know.
All right.
Helps or hurts the chances?
Okay.
It doesn't hurt.
Right.
It does not hurt.
And so Jake will get them, and then we'll give Todd some input because he'll be there.
Yeah. I have a guy named Joshua who's, I have a three-part email, three different points in time. So, hey,
he wants it.
He's in the top four right now.
Okay.
But there's still time to send emails to me.
We ready.
So send them to jake@810whb.com.
jake@810whb.com.
That simple. Tell me why. Tell us why, because I'm not the only one judging this. Mm-hmm. Tell us why you should go to hang out with Steven and Todd. We're all going to have our hands involved in this. I printed out a bunch of them for you guys to read.
It's like a four-handed massage. We're all going to be in there.
It's more like a six-handed.
Oh. Do they do those?
Well, they do now. They do here on the Border Patrol.
Wow.
It's a $40 tip. But
if you want more information, you can go to bullseyeeventgroup.com. Sage Steele from ESPN is going to be the MC, so. All right. You do not need a Super Bowl ticket to get into the players' tailgate. I'm looking forward to it. And Guy Fieri will be on the show at 9:30 to explain what people can expect if they buy a ticket or if they win a ticket. So we've got all that on the show today. And I watched, I watched in preparation of our interview with Guy Fieri. I watched the episode of Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives that aired. It aired the day before my birthday on November 29th, when he went with Andy Reid to Pigwitch down in the City Market. Have you guys seen that? Either one of you?
I have not.
It was good. It's really good. It was funny. Andy Reid knows how to eat a sandwich. Let me tell you that right there.
Yeah.
Knows how to eat a sandwich. And you kind of saw just a little bit because we always hear about what a great sense of humor and how funny Andy Reid is and some of the impressions that he does in the locker room. And, you know, there's been whispers out there that he does a hell of a Patrick Mahomes impersonation. Well, wouldn't you like to hear that one? And
yes.
So he's, you know, oh, big red man. He'll crack you up. He's hilarious. And he's just very, very reserved, very professional when he's at the podium. And so a little bit of that came out in that episode for anyone that saw it. And so I sure enjoyed it, watching Andy Reid in his Chiefs Hawaiian shirt enjoy a couple of delicious sandwiches, including the short rib burger, which he seemed to enjoy very much. And then Guy kind of grabbed the plate and moved it over there, and Andy said something like, "Hey, don't go too far with those French fries." You know, this is funny. You know, so it was exciting.
Big Red.
Yeah.
Keep those fries on the table. Doggone it.
Yeah. So we'll talk about that with Guy.
That's not how we roll.
At 9:30.
We eat all the fries here. That's how we roll.
So yesterday, we asked what should happen to Silvio De Souza. And Jake suggested that Bill Self and KU should immediately suspend him indefinitely and then await the punishment from the Big 12 Conference. Mm-hmm. And so hours later, Bill Self suspended Silvio indefinitely, and then they waited for the punishment for the Big 12 Conference, which ended up being 12 games. And so what do you want to say about Jake being absolutely 110% correct?
Oh, yeah. Well, Jake was echoing my thoughts, so I'm not surprised he was correct.
Wow. He's trying to steal your thunder. Trying to steal your spotlight.
Incorrect.
And let me tell you, there were some people that were not happy with Jake saying that. There was a couple of people that got very angry. There's one person that called Nate a very nasty word, very nasty name, you know.
Some might say a sexist name.
Well, a sexy name?
Sexy.
Well, that too, maybe. Okay.
And so, you know, now that we know it's 12 games, and how many games are left in the regular season? 13?
13, yeah.
So how do you feel about that now that we know?
I think the Big 12 did a pretty good job on all this. I think it's...
it was a Big 12 games.
Yeah, Big 12 games for Ole Miss.
We should have seen that one coming, you know?
Yeah.
What suspension? It's a Big 12.
The book.
You know.
We had talked about the possibility of him getting, you know, of him being done playing basketball at KU. Somebody misinterpreted that, saying that I was calling for that. I was not calling for that. The Kansas City Star editorial board did, and I thought their column was really poor.
Boy,
really poor.
When something happens in sports, I just can't wait to hear what the Kansas City Star editorial board has to say.
Yeah.
That's usually, whenever something happens in sports, that's I wait. I just sit. I turn out all the lights off, I turn everything off. I shut the electricity down, and I just simply wait until the editorial board has their say.
Yeah, well, they had their say, and it was about as on point as you would expect, I guess, for it for them, you know, talking about.
We think all sports should stop.
They're bad for society.
Mm-hmm.
They bring out the worst in us. Look, I think it's a harsh punishment, but a fair one. And I think they needed to deliver a harsh punishment because of the things we talked about in terms of what happened and the fact that fans were put at risk and all of those things. So I thought the apology that Silvio De Souza put out was a very good one. I'm sure I don't know. Maybe he had help writing it. I don't know if he did or not. But I think that...
Well, what did you say? You're sure that...
Well, I was about to say I'm sure he had some help writing it, but I don't know that. I'm not sure of that. I don't know if he had help or not writing it.
He sat down with his laptop and...
Well...
Banged it
out. I'm willing to bet he at least had one person read over it.
Yeah, I mean...
I mean, that's just pretty standard procedure. Anytime you put something out there, you
write something here and we got editors that look at it.
Right.
That's right.
You know, we probably need to have Jake look at your tweets before you send them out.
I should have
trouble you get into.
Right. I'd like to have somebody... Edit every action I take in life before
the things I write around here do not get read.
Point is, they sent it.
Yeah, and I think
he wrote it, sent it out, and there it was.
And it came across to me at least as very heartfelt, and it came across as very contrite. He didn't make any excuses. I was actually talking to my mom about this. You know, the athletic department put out a release that said this is not who we are. And my mom was telling me how much of a pet peeve of hers that is when somebody does something stupid and then they say, well, this isn't who I am. That kind of smacks of a lack of taking ownership of, well, I mean, it is what you did. It might not be who you want to be. It might not be who you're striving to be going forward. You might be committed to doing things better in the future. But, you know, to dismiss something as this isn't who I am, well, we are who our actions say we are. And we have to own those things. I mean, I'm certainly no different than anybody else in that regard. And what I liked and appreciated about his apology was there wasn't any of that in the apology. It was he seemed to completely understand the opportunity he has at Kansas, the fact that KU fought for him to get him eligible, the fact that people stood behind him, and he let all those people down. It seemed to really hurt him.
You are who we say you are.
The Bears are who we thought they
were. That's right. They are who
that's
they
why
are.
We took that's the right. damn field.
So now, I
crown them, then crown their
right. Crown your ass.
Yeah. So I appreciated it. I you know, now he's got to go out and live the words. He can't just, you know, you can't just put out a statement. He's got to go out and live the words. And I hope he does that. But I also hope that one stupid action doesn't define a person for his whole life. I'm glad he's going to get the chance.
Boy, I'm glad that doesn't.
Right? So am I.
With several stupid actions.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes.
Or years
right. worth of stupid actions.
Yes. I mean, decades and, of stupid actions.
And that's like that's the thing. Like when I saw that Star editorial board thing about he should never play again at Kansas and all this, I'm thinking, what is? I'd like to know from the editorial board, what do you think? What's your goal for Silvio DeSouza in life?
I can't believe they said abolish Kansas basketball.
Well, that's
a, that was a little over the top.
What a strong statement.
It was.
A little over the top.
Do you just, like when somebody does something like that, we have a tendency in our cancel culture to want to castigate that person and they've got to be fired.
What did you say?
Castigate.
Oh.
Castrate?
Oh, no. I'm sorry.
No, I didn't say that.
The headphones cut out and I didn't know what you were suggesting. Like, good God, Nate.
If we get to that point, it really would be.
No, that's over the top.
Really taking it too far.
Right.
But we want to.
What the editorial board was calling for?
Well, they wanted him kicked off the team. And it's like that. That seems to be our reaction when somebody does something stupid anymore. Is well, they should be fired. They should never work in this business again. Let's make sure that their life is completely ruined, and that'll teach them. And I feel like there's a lot of steps in between those two things. And I feel like a 12-game suspension is something that. He's never going to forget.
Yeah, that's deep.
It's a harsh punishment.
Too much, not enough, or just right?
I think it's just right.
I think it's about right.
Or just right.
Yeah,
not too hot,
right.
Not too cold.
I mean, look, they play K-State in 11 games from now. And I think that was the biggest thing, to make sure he was not on the court when they play Kansas State next time. I think that was a big part of this deal because that's just adding fuel to the fire.
David McCormick received a 2-game suspension. James Love for Kansas State will miss 8 games, and Antonio Gordon will miss 3.
I think there are more kids that could have gotten suspended because there were more kids involved, but I kind of like the fact that the Big 12 decided to let's serve out a punishment to the 4 biggest participants in this, and let's not get into a situation where we're suspending half of each team. I just feel like they handle it pretty well.
Yeah, I don't think there were enough actions that you could visually see on the tapes, and we saw a lot of that. We watched a lot of that footage that you could say, hey, that guy was in the wrong. He needs to be, punished.
A lot of people were saying they should suspend both teams for 10 games.
Wow, that's a long. That would really. Was that the editorial board?
I heard people in the halls suggesting they should just suspend both teams for 10 games.
Was that Shane Summers? Was that?
Well, I don't know. You just hear things bouncing off the walls, and
you do hear a lot of things.
It just shows people how people will, overreact.
Right. Right.
I'm glad they didn't overreact.
Some people want their pound of flesh.
Right. Right.
I think the suspension seemed pretty fair, and pretty right. That's a difficult position to be in to decide, what number of games is the right number of games?
Jake, is it too many?
No.
Is it not enough?
I think you had to at least suspend him through the next K-State game, and that was 11 games. So that's...
How does it feel to be right?
I don't know.
When you heard they had suspended him indefinitely awaiting the Big 12's decision, did you...
Oh, my chest was a little puffy
light
around
up a
here.
Cigar?
I was walking around, head up high, chest out, saying, if you would have listened to the Border Patrol yesterday, could have found out what was going
to
happen.
Well, some people listened and didn't like what we had to say.
Right.
So. Really?
I like the fact that Nate was the one that caught all the ire from people listening.
Well, what else is new?
The Chiefs are going to the Super Bowl.
Got to be a fall guy.
That's new.
The Chiefs are going to the Super Bowl. I got my 60th season coffee mug right here.
Where'd you get it?
Arrowhead. I bought a loaded hot chocolate when
How much is that? Cheap?
The loaded hot chocolate?
$1.50?
Yeah, it's a little over $1.50.
99 cents.
Was it the same price as the Quick Trip hot chocolate, basically?
No, I think it's slightly more. But
it was either $1.50 or $27.
Right, $27.50.
Well, it was loaded, so they add $15.
You can keep
bucks.
The cup.
Yeah, and I get to keep this.
That's good.
You know where I got? I got this the day that me, you, Grunny, and Hurricane...
Grunny.
Sat up in the upper deck.
Right.
And watched the Chiefs get a victory. Was that a Raiders game?
Sure it was.
Raiders. So I said, I need something to drink.
Remember that. Commemorate that day. That was a beautiful day.
Right here. Maybe I'll get Grunny to sign it someday if he ever comes back in studio.
Nope.
I, you know what I've asked Jake to do? He's going to, I don't know if I've asked him to this
right.
point.
I was going to say, huh?
But I mean, later on down the road, because we, you know, I see all these like commemorative books and things like that. And look, and here's the deal. You saw the text chain, like, hey, you know, how much gear are you guys buying right now? And I just simply said, I'll be buying a bunch of gear that says Super Bowl champs. That's what I'm waiting for.
Right.
I'll get some other stuff down there. I want to buy some stuff down there that's, you know, Super Bowl.
Right. Stuff you can only get down there.
24, Miami, Kansas City. I love that. But, you know, I'm when
Sports Illustrated releases
if the Chiefs win this game.
The commemorative video.
And then there's Super Bowl, yeah. That's all I ever wanted to do as
right.
a kid was to purchase a Sports Illustrated subscription.
Leather-bound.
So I could get the leather-bound book
yes.
and hat.
Right.
Yeah.
Commemorative so,
right.
hat.
Yeah.
And so I'll buy everything that says,
and stopwatch.
That says Super Bowl. But I told him that I want him to put together on, I don't know, in some way, all the interviews that we did.
Already ahead of you, brother.
From the beginning.
You said that 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, but just for us, though. Like, I mean, play them on the air, too,
oh,
at some
okay.
point. But just like... Imagine how cool that's going to be. Even now that they've made the Super Bowl, right? All the way back from the first interview that I did up in training camp, which was the sit down with Patrick Mahomes II, and then you know all the sit down interviews I did, the interviews you did up there, and then our weekly interviews. I mean, you talk about a souvenir or a way to commemorate this Super Bowl season. We're going to be able to have that for the rest of our lives,
yeah.
and have like what a total of. I don't know, 25, 30 interviews, probably more, one-on-one interviews if you factor in all the training
three
camp interviews and
week.
Everything. And just to be able to have that, hey, the year that they went to the Super Bowl, the week by week, we talked to a different player.
Yeah.
It's what I mean, I just think about that and I pinch myself how lucky we've been to be able to do that.
I was playing that out last night. I was
yeah.
like, you know what, this next week and a half is going to be a lot of work and I'm ready for it. Even see this? This is an external hard drive.
I don't know what that means. That's over my head.
I actually brought this in today so I could take home all of our audio files and start pouring through them over the weekend.
See?
I crap you not. I crap you not.
Right.
He just pulled out his hard drive.
Mm-hmm.
I did.
Man.
It's massive, too.
Very, 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 very excited.
That is so cool.
It's now on Thursday. And so, and then... But leading up to it, we'll be able to play like some greatest hits and like a walk down memory lane through the season from the different players. And Jake's going to put together like some different highlights of the interviews week by week of the different players we talked to. And it's just going to be, it gives me warm feelings inside. So
well, it is fun to go back through it too because it kind of helps
inside.
Remind you of what a journey the season is. Because I'm starting to think right off the bat, you probably don't need to keep the Carlos Hyde interview I did. At the beginning of the season, but it's kind of an interesting thought.
Why would it not be?
That he was part of this team in preseason. And I remember also doing a Byron Pringle interview. And think about the fact that Byron Pringle has made some enormous plays for this team. Was it in Detroit? I'm trying to remember where he made that big catch when he had to come in the game.
Absolutely, right before the game-winning touchdown.
Yeah, it took a massive hit, held on to the ball.
Got that big first down. That was a huge first down.
We'd love to make it part of that, but Jake told me yesterday he accidentally erased all your interviews.
Yeah,
it sucked.
They actually, they destroyed.
Somehow it was like a magnet or something.
That's too bad.
They drilled through the hard drives.
I'm
just thinking about how many different guys on this roster, though, have done things through the course of the year to help this team get where they are. You know, and the whole 53-man roster and guys that have come on to the 53-man roster through
Matt
the course
Moore.
Of the season. Yeah. It's
go
pretty
down
cool.
the line.
Yeah, pretty cool.
We've got lots more to talk about for you. The Chiefs are in the Super Bowl. We've got Tim Grenhard coming up at 7 o'clock. Matt Derrick, Chase from Charlie Hustle, Mike DeCourcy, Guy Fieri, and more coming up right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, really talking to those guys, seeing what the week's like first off. I mean, obviously we have a schedule of how we're doing everything, but seeing what extra free time I think I can pick up in order to either study more or get guys together to get some more work in. I mean, just using those guys and their experiences to really have an understanding of what we're going into and what to expect.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We had Andy Reid and... Patrick Mahomes II and Anthony Hitchens and Mitchell Schwartz and others talking at an Arrowhead yesterday. Let's hear a couple of clips from the excellent Chiefs right tackle, Mitchell Schwartz. And, well, this is certainly going to be an interesting matchup. I had someone texting in to the text line yesterday, 913-912-4810, that didn't call Nate horrible names, but they did ask, how come more people aren't talking about the matchup between the Chiefs and the 49ers last year? Patrick Mahomes didn't have any problems against the defense then. And I just said, look, for me, there's just too many new faces for that to be relevant, especially on the San Francisco 49ers defense. I mean, just start with Bosa and Dee Ford right there. I mean, that kind of changes everything in the front four. Quan Alexander, I mean, I think they have as many as six you can consider new starters. I mean, it's they added quite a bit through the draft and through free agency and through via trade, like they did with the Dee Ford trade. And so there's just, you know, I mean, Nick Bosa, Dre Greenlaw, Dee Ford, Quan Alexander. I mean, there's four impact players right there. So it's just, I mean, you could look at it and see, you know, what San Francisco did, but it, you know, obviously their pass rush is much, much different with Bosa and Dee Ford. I mean, it's just,
yeah. And if you look at just the overall stats, last year they were the 13th ranked defense in the NFL in yards allowed. This year they were second. So we talk a lot about the improvement that the Chiefs made defensively from last year to this year. The 49ers made an equal improvement.
It'd be like trying to look at the Chiefs defense, like, you know, why? I mean, do you think the Chiefs defense is any different with, I mean, they're only two players, just with two players, with Tyron Matthew and Frank Clark. Yeah. And then there's, you know, plenty more. And a new coordinator, Steve Spagnuolo. Here is Mitchell Schwartz talking about the matchup against Dee Ford. And he was asked yesterday if he has an advantage having faced Ford in practice.
I mean, it isn't. I've only faced him once in, like, real action. That was when he was a lot younger, and he's a much different player and pass rusher now. So, I mean, I think you have a feel for guys, obviously, going against him every day. But it's a lot different when it's, you know, kind of live bullets. And, I mean, we all know he brings it, so it's going to be a tough matchup.
Schwartz was also asked about his ability to remain on an even keel.
I think, you know, especially for tackles, if you get a little too over-anxious or too aggressive, I shouldn't say aggressive, but, I mean, there have been times where you, oh, I got to get my hands on him, and you throw yourself at a guy, and he just swims you, and he's by you. So there's an element of kind of patience to everything you do. Obviously, playing with Joe the first, you know, 4 years, you learn that as well. You know, there's not as many of those times where you're able to kind of impose your will and just throw your body at people. There's always a lot more space. You always have to be under control. I think also if you get too high or too low, you know, emotionally, that also can throw you off, because if you're playing well, you're going to be thinking you're, you know, playing too well. You're going to be overconfident. You're not going to kind of focus on whatever keys you have in your head to maintain success. And if you're too low, you're just going to go in the tank when you have a bad play or two. So, you know, I think the kind of even keelness helps both in terms of kind of technique stuff and, you know, physical, but also the mental aspect of making everything as similar as possible.
I mean, he's always interesting to talk to, but he certainly does seem reserved and very calm and not too emotional. But that's a good thing to have. That's a good thing to have that steady hand on the offensive line. One more, and then we'll break from Mitchell Schwartz. He was asked if the comebacks were a case of the Chiefs just having their backs against the wall, or are they having success when they get deeper into their play sheet?
Yeah, I don't think there's an attitude shift, I would say. I mean, it's not like we're at 85%. And, oh, no, now we're down 10. Now we got to kick it up. He's obviously well-known for his first 15. So, you know, for us to go out and not have a good first quarter or not perform well, you know, off the first 15, that probably shows that we're not doing our part, you know, executing what his plays are. So I kind of always go back to that first. You know, are we blocking the right guys? Are we blocking them, you know, for long enough? And are we throwing the ball at the right spot? Are we catching it? All those things. If we're executing, I mean, like we've known for 20 years, he's the best first 15 guy in the business. So I say the early starts or the lack of early starts are way more on, you know, our inability to execute.
It's one thing to come back against the Texans. A little bit tougher, and it took a little bit longer to come back against the Titans, even though the deficit wasn't as deep. But it'll be even tougher if you dig yourself a hole against the San Francisco 49ers with their defense and their personnel and their ability to run the football. And so important to get off, and not even get off to a great start, but just don't find yourself down double digits early in the game, because it'll be more difficult to come back. The Chiefs could do it. They could do it against anybody, but it'll be a much tougher task against the Niners than it was against the Texans and the Titans. Back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Let's hear some comments from Big Red Andy Reid out at Arrowhead Stadium yesterday.
Doggone it.
We're going to be out at Arrowhead today. Me and Nate Bucati and Todd Lebo talking to some players.
I'm sorry, who?
The press conferences for you. And, you know, Lebo usually grabs the mic or gets up in front of everyone and says, you know, he has a question, but sometimes someone will ask his question first, and then he can get a little bit befuddled when, you know, somebody steals his question. So all the members in the media out there, please don't steal Todd Lebo's question, or we could have a repeat of something like this.
Lebo, Sports Radio 810.
Sorry, wrong. All right, my question again.
Maybe he got thrown off there because they said his name wrong.
Next question comes from the line of Ted Leobu, Sports Radio 810.
Sorry,
that's how you say it.
Wrong. My question.
Incorrect.
Question asked. I O E A.
Wrong number.
I O U. New phone. Who dis? What? Here's Andy Reid. Andy Reid has coached in a Super Bowl before, and he was asked about the distractions that Super Bowl week can bring.
Sure, we've really kept it. We've got a tight itinerary, and we're sticking to that. And Ted's done a good job of kind of keeping the media part organized, and you know, we're there to play, but we're also there. It's a Super Bowl, and we understand everybody's got their jobs doing. People are interested, so we understand that.
Does it allow you, is it like a full bye week, right? You know the word on your, you have the bye week, and what an advantage that is. Does it give you a full bye week, or does it eat up half that, three quarters of that?
Yeah, for the coaches, it's not bad. Next week, there's a few more distractions, but this week, you get yourself right and get the game plan ready, and get ready to go. So, and then when you get down there, you're able to kind of go back through and review and finalize things and make sure everything's the way you want it.
Here's more from Andy Reid. He was asked if there's any comparisons or how different this trip to the Super Bowl feels from the first one as head coach with the Philadelphia Eagles.
From my recollection, we were very similar, you know, to getting to this point. Yeah, listen, I think I can tell you, I think because you're older, back then you go, we've got the one here, we'll get to, you know, a million of them, you know, but it doesn't quite come that easy. So I think you just, you respect it and appreciate it probably even a little bit more than I did back then. I appreciated them, but I think it's something more now.
Andy Reid was also, and I thought this was, I'd like to hear more from Andy Reid just talking about his offense. And he was asked, and just different philosophies, he was asked if he felt the evolution of NFL offenses means you don't have to run the football to win.
I want to believe that, but I think combinations are good, or playing the team's strengths and weakness. I think those are important matchups, all those things, and that's been forever. So I think it depends on who you're playing, where you're playing, what you're doing, what you're best at, what they're best at, and then you work to the strength of it. Obviously, if you run the ball well, you can throw it well. That's the best of both worlds. And so that combination has always been tough for defenses to work with. So, I think both teams are capable of doing that, that are in this game.
Two very different approaches for the teams in the championship games. You had the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes throwing the football all over the field because that's what he does best, and he's just terrific and running the football when things break down. And Jimmy Garoppolo firing off 8 passes in the entire game as they ran wild, and Raheem Mostert had over 200 yards and 4 touchdowns. So.
As I famously heard Bill Snyder say, everybody wants to get hung up on the system, but it's not about the system, it's how you execute it. And I love that there's two different, very different styles that have proven they can get to the same point. And but I like what Andy Reid said. You got to have at least enough balance to where the other team has to defend both. It's pretty hard. I mean, even though the 49ers only threw it 8 times in that game, the Packers had to go into that game respecting the fact that Garoppolo could throw the ball on them a little bit. And the Chiefs have to at least have some element of a run game, I think, just like they did. And they did against the Titans.
13 play drive that helped put the game away and make the game 28-17. Back after this on WHP. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you very much for joining us, Stephen St. John and Nate Bucchetti with Jake Gutierrez. We certainly do appreciate it. Let's hear one more from Andy Reid. Andy Reid was asked yesterday at the press conference if he felt pressure to finally win the big one.
No, life's bigger than that. Now that doesn't tell you I don't want to win. I don't want that to be. I mean, this is America, man. I'm in it to win. That's what we do, and that's how you're. So I don't want that to be slighted. But I also understand. I have a perspective of life. Maybe it's my age now, but I. That doesn't mean I'm not going to, work hard and coach hard, do all those things, and I'm in swinging, so the best of my ability. But I'm not going to tell you that there aren't other things in life. I understand that too.
I like that perspective by Big Red, but you know what also should give him some added perspective and a little less pressure is that he's got Patrick Mahomes
right
for most likely the rest of his career. And if he doesn't win this one, I know there's no guarantee he's going to go back. I know about Dan Marino. I know about all that stuff.
What about Dan Marino, though?
But I believe that as long as he has Patrick Mahomes, he's going to have multiple chances to win a Super Bowl, including this year.
Yeah, but what about Dan Marino?
I mean, have you factored in Dan Marino?
I've been told a time or two about Dan Marino. It turns out he didn't win a Super Bowl. Made it to one early in his career, and I guess he never made it again. Somebody's told me something about that.
Yeah.
But he was in Ace Ventura, though.
Yeah. Isotoners.
Right.
And I know that there's also guys like, Jim Kelly that made it to multiple Super Bowls and didn't win. I know all that stuff.
What about Dan Marino?
Dan Marino, I've been to his restaurant in Florida once before.
Oh, really?
He used to have a steakhouse.
Are you thinking about Don Shula?
Don Shula's steakhouse.
Shula's had one, too, but Marino had a place, too, for a while there.
I don't believe you.
I don't either. I think you're lying.
Maybe I am.
I've been to Harry Carey's in Chicago.
But the
you
real
been to
question.
Ditka's?
Ditka? The real question is, what about Dan Marino?
Well, Marino.
It's unbelievably relevant.
Yeah.
So.
It's all true.
Following is a smart ass kind of
tone. I'm just tired of people telling Chiefs fans in Kansas City how they should celebrate and how they should feel.
Yeah.
I mean, I get it, but I'm tired of telling people, don't get so excited. Your team's just going to the Super Bowl for the first time in 50 years. And I'll screw you. If you want to stand on your head for the next week and a half, it's great.
I think you could have a head rush.
If you want to run around the block 100 times, here, you do you. You celebrate and go crazy any way you want to go. Focus on the game. Enjoy the ride. Don't enjoy the ride. Just do what you do. But don't let anyone else tell you how to celebrate this. Because you've been waiting your whole life for this. You've been waiting for the Chiefs to get the Super Bowl.
Brad Porter confirms the Dan Marino had a steakhouse in Tampa, St. Pete.
Shut Thank the you. Hell up!
Was it really good one time and then never got back to that point? And back after this on WHB. Thank you very much for watching us on 38 The Spot. Thank you for people pointing out to Nate Buchiti who Dan Marino is. He had no idea. He just thought he was a restaurateur that owned several steakhouses. And now we've given him some
background.
I thought
he was a glove salesman.
Right. He thought he was an actor from Ace Ventura. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.